The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
Welcome, 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 everybody. Good to have you here on this 29th day of May, our final show of the week, our final show of the month of May. When we are back together, it will be June. Can you believe it? Summer underway. I mean, sort of unofficially, Memorial Day kicks that off. The actual summer solstice is like, we have like 3 more weeks of the sun rising earlier and setting later. It's crazy, but I'll tell you what, here's something we can all get behind, or something we can all celebrate. Let's go, everybody. Topics are just at an arm's length away. So what do we need to do to get there? Let us all celebrate. It's Friday.
Wow! I feel good. I feel good. Ow! I feel good.
I feel good.
I feel good.
You want me to say I feel good?
I feel good.
I would not.
To the first Doobie Brothers album that people paid attention to, 1972, Toulouse Street. Had a little thing called Listen to the Music on there. That was good. So was Disciple.
Night time, I jump back in the alley, saw a shadow frozen in.
Yes, the Tom Johnston Doobie Brothers, the real Doobie Brothers. 866-660-5759. Nice to have you here. Let me go right to your calls. Let me tell you what lies ahead from me topically. We'll take a look at the triple I need a noun. Is it a risk? It's the triple damage of the stories out of Minneapolis. You have bad thing number one was the death of George Floyd. It's terrible. And virtually everyone acknowledges that it's terrible. So why riot? Then you have the wheels of justice starting to turn. Police chiefs, the cops themselves fired. The police chiefs around the country saying this was bad. So the wheels of justice are turning. District Attorney's Office starting to look at whether or not there are actual criminal charges that are appropriate here. The wheels of justice are turning. So why riot? Well, because it's a thing to do, apparently. If you are of a rioting mood, if hooliganism and rioting and destruction are your jam, then this is Christmas for you, quite literally, because you get free stuff. So there's bad thing number two, the rioting. And then bad thing number three, media coddling of the rioters. And that's why I always try to find a silver lining, and it's terrible. George Floyd is dead. That's terrible. There's rioting. That's terrible. The media are full of it. That's terrible. But anytime you can achieve clarity, anytime somebody shows you what they really are, there is value. And, you know, how many times a week do they need to do this? The media, who have regaled us for a couple of months now, rooting for the virus so that Trump can lose, now they are rooting for the rioters because they don't have the guts to stand up to lawbreakers because they're, you know, supposedly they are upset over the George Floyd killing. I'm upset over the George Floyd killing. I haven't put a brick through a store yet, and I don't think I'm going to. And I know, oh, white guy, it's different. I know. I have all the requisite empathy for black folk who have had it up to their eyeballs with black guys dying unnecessarily and baselessly at the hands of cops. I totally get that. I'm not blind to that. I'm not insensitive to that. I'm not without empathy for that. But you don't get to do this. You don't ever get to do this. And the media culture is, I mean, it's going to happen all weekend long, so just get ready. You might want to just get out in the yard and fire up the grill and don't pay attention to the TV box, because it is going to be apologist after apologist after apologist saying that this, they're just upset. What do you do when you're upset? What do you do? It's a natural extension. They're frustrated. Now, I got to tell you, if in Minnesota and across the land, people were standing up for Officer Chauvin and saying, well, we got to get his side. By the way, we do. That's called due process. But what if people were saying, nah, video looks pretty normal to me. This is what cops have to do sometimes. Nothing to see here, Johnny. Move along. All right, that would be one thing. Still wouldn't validate rioting. If in Minnesota, if the officials were saying, we ain't firing anybody. You know, we're not, might not giving them a citation on this, but, you know, no harm, no foul. We're good here. That would be one thing. Wouldn't validate rioting, but that would be different. If no wheels of justice were turning, and that would be one thing. Everything is moving properly. Everything is going exactly as it should go when something terrible like this happens. Oh, no, but we got a riot. And the reason for that is rioters are going to riot. Looters are going to loot. Hooligans are going to do whatever the verb form is of hooligan. This is when you see what people are made of. You see what cultures are made of. And I do not mean, no way I'm talking about the black culture. Half of those, it's Minnesota. Half of these people out there are white. Some of the people screaming at the cops, bunch of dorky, cop-hating white people are out there as well. So as I've said, nothing is really about race anymore. Nothing is really about race anymore. It's about politics. Are there a bunch of conservative black folk out there rioting? I don't think so. So listen, if somebody is standing at a protest and they're angry about the death of George Floyd, that's a protest. At the moment at which you destroy a building. Oh, and by the way, last night's building of choice, the 3rd Precinct Police Headquarters of Minneapolis, Minnesota. Hey, what better way to say I really seek justice in the case of George Floyd? What better way to fight for justice than to destroy stuff? It's a mess. It's ridiculous. And it's bad enough that George Floyd is dead. He shouldn't be. It's bad enough that there's rioting. There shouldn't be. Now we've got to have a coddling of rioters by a media culture that doesn't have the guts to call rioting, rioting. Phew. All right, 866-660-5759. All righty, we are in Fort Worth. Kevin, Mark Davis, welcome. Hi, happy Friday.
Hey, good morning, Mark.
Hey.
Yeah, so I grew up in Southern California, and in 92, I was one block over from ground zero of the Rodney King riots when they broke out. And we were working on an apartment building, refurbishing the thing.
Wow.
And so we hightailed it out of there real quick, and we stayed out. We didn't go back for a couple of weeks until it was safe. And so when we went back in there, I mean, I remember patching over bullet holes, you know, on the outside of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And but the entire blocks of strip malls and grocery stores and 7-Elevens, everything was completely burned down. They were just burned out halls. And these people, they burned down their own neighborhoods. And so what ended up happening was 10, 15, 20 years later, you could drive through those same areas and those same burned out buildings were still there.
Yeah.
And then the people that burned down their own neighborhoods were then complaining because there was nowhere to go shopping. They had to go miles to get their groceries or their clothes or whatever. Well, what corporation or businessman is going to go back in there and invest hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars to open up a business or a store
only
to have it with the chance that it's going to be looted and burned down at the drop of a hat when something bad happens.
Exactly right. People lament all the time about development in certain neighborhoods, and they wonder why there's not all kinds of seed money, and they wonder why there's not all kinds of urgency and desire for the marketplace to open up in neighborhoods that clearly need certain types of businesses, and there is money, even in economically downtrodden parts of any major city, there is money to be spent. There is commerce to occur, and you've described exactly why. Because in some cases, they feel the risks are just too high. Kevin, thank you. Appreciate it. And that's the thing that really makes you just beat your head against the wall. And that really shows you that this is not about anger. It's not about injustice. It's not about, you know, righteous rage or any of that. By the way, are all those things on display? Yes, they are. At protests, in conversations, in calls to talk shows, I'm guessing. All of those things. Is there anger? Yes. Is there rage? Yes. Is there raw emotion and frustration? Absolutely. But if you're looking at somebody throw a brick through a wall and then walk out of Target with a flat-screen TV, that's thievery. That's looting. That's rioting. And it is none of the above in terms of the righteous indignation that somebody wants to attach to this rampant, rampant lawlessness. And all the evidence you really need is if indeed there was something clear-eyed and noble about this, I mean, the Boston Tea Party was vandalism, too, and had a bit of a principle behind it, didn't it? You know, there was lawlessness at the lunch counters of South Carolina. There was lawlessness, you know, Rosa Parks was that was an act of lawlessness on the bus in Montgomery, Alabama. Had a purpose, had a higher purpose, was for a goal. This has no goal. what kind of quest for justice destroys the businesses of the community that is adversely affected by the injustice that is being protested? So don't get your brain in a pretzel twist about that. This is not constructive. This is not well thought out. Well, it's well thought out. It's like, hey, we can go get a flat screen TV. Guess what? Everything's free at Target. I'm down. And so off they go. And are they upset with the death of George Floyd? I'm sure they may well be, but that ain't what motivating them. That isn't what's motivating them at the moment at which they walk into a building with the intent to commit theft. 866-660-5759. We are in Prosper. Hey, Greg, Mark Davis. Good Friday to you.
Hey, Mike, Mark. Good morning.
Hi.
These crazy places we're living in today compared to the 60s. Anyway.
No, just you've started a talk show. You've started a talk show right there. Greg, how old? Okay. Meaning what?
We lived through that. We lived through the cities being burned.
No, exactly right. And I don't know which is worse. I mean, it's funny. You know, people talk about, oh, you know, Trump and everybody's. Somebody should take a walk through the late 60s and see today in some ways. These days are a day at the beach compared to the late 60s. Anyway, go ahead.
Hey, anyway, what I'm calling about, I don't want to go off topic. Yesterday when you were talking about Sam Johnson, mm-hmm. God love him. Actually, my wife used to do his hair in the 60s. She was a stylist in the 80s, and he was an absolute wonderful, wonderful man.
Uh-huh.
But when I hear that word or term servant applied to a politician, I cringe.
Why?
I absolutely cringe.
Why?
To me, Mother Teresa is a servant. But a servant being applied to a person with the benefit package that they have and the ability to make millions and millions of dollars, which they all do, I find it hard to see them being a servant.
Okay, well, let me help you out. Let me help you out. There are a lot of ways to serve. Obviously, the Mother Teresa charitable life led is obviously the way. When people run for elected office, you're right about the perks package, and there are a lot of ways to do well in life if you have a powerful political job. No doubt about that. But the people who undertake that are making, in most cases, far less than they would make in the private sector. But I'm not even going to dwell on the money. If they really are running for office in order to make the local level, make their city better, make their county better, make their state better, make their country better, if they are seeking to bring about change to make our lives better, is that not an act of service?
It is an act of service. I think they all go in with good intentions. And I mean, Bernie's a prime example.
Well, okay, I don't want to go to 5,000 examples of politicians we hate, because your points will always be good. They will always be good. But with Sam Johnson in particular, this was a heart for service. He served this country in the military, and he served this country in Congress. And I would extend this to the members of the North Texas Congressional Delegation, to our Governor Abbott, to our President Donald Trump, to presidents like Reagan. And look, even if there's a president I disagreed with, were there ways in which they sought to serve? Yes, they did, in ways that I disagreed with. But by and large, I think that undertaking public office, it is one of the most brutal, thankless jobs you will ever have, ever, ever. Trust me. I've never done it, but I've been around millions of people, and it's just it's hell every day, quite frankly. And so they ain't out on a boat, sipping Mai Tais. So when I refer to the call to serve, it is an ideal for elected office. It's what I want. Do some people run for office making it all about me? How much money can I make? How much power can I have? Absolutely. But when it's done right, it is done with a heart for service. I think of Sam Johnson. I think of the late Ralph Hall. I think of a lot of other people who absolutely deserve that credit. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 824.
Baby, I feel good from the moment I arrived.
Ray Davis and the Kinks. Till the end of the day. Spring of 66. Glad you're here on this Friday, May 29th. Good bridge into the news here till the end of the day, 8:30 until the end of the show at 10 o'clock. I'm Mark Davis. I guess I'll be Mark Davis even after the end of the show as I walk out of the building and then pursue things of the weekend. I can see a lot of grilling, a lot of movie watching, a lot of things going on with the family. Get out, ride the bike, do some stuff, and just have a wonderful time. I hope your weekend is filled with blessings as we say, mwah, see ya to the month of May. So, Mark Cuban was back on Hannity last night. Last time they were together, it was interesting, and it was very interesting last night as well. Cuban has an idea, the use it or lose it debit card, in which you get money into the hands of people who need it, but they don't just sit on it or stuff it under the mattress. The debit card, meaning it's got to be used, and you're not buying weed with it. It's a debit card that if you don't use it in X amount of time, it evaporates. It's gone. Literally, use it or lose it. So he talks about that and a few other things with Hannity. Let's play that, and we'll hear from you as well, from the rigors of Minneapolis. Death of George Floyd's terrible. Rioting's terrible. The media coddling, the liberals, the leftist coddling of rioters is terrible. It's just all dreadful. But there are things dark and light to imagine, things uplifting and depressing, everything in between in the talk show world. So let's tackle it all at 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 832. Gordon Griffin is in the newsroom.
From my heart and from my hand, why don't people understand my intention?
All right. What's this about? A band I really had no use for. A movie I really had no use for. But a birthday of note. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Oingo Boingo and the theme from the 1985 turd, Weird Science, with who the heck was even in it? Anthony Michael Hall. And some other guy. It's like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure with Keanu Reeves. One guy goes on to become a huge star. The other guy's parking cars. Table 6 needs more rolls. Anyway, so what's behind this? It was at about this time that the strange-looking red-headed frontman of Oingo Boingo, a gentleman named Danny Elfman, started writing more songs for movies and started doing complete scores for movies and kind of wound up being a genius. So the very, very talented Danny Elfman is 67 today. Speaking of Anthony Michael Hall, mouthful of braces, freckly-faced kid. He was in Saturday Night Live. He was the first Rusty in the Vacation movies, Weird Science, and Breakfast Club, too, right? He's all over your TV box today, and dude's got to be in his early 50s, I guess. Anthony Michael Hall, you can find him on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You can find him as, like, the guidance counselor in the Goldbergs. And, I'm forgetting something. And in Blacklist. He's Wrestler's brother. So, wow. So, a career that refuses to die. Good for him. Anthony Michael Hall. All righty, 866-660-5759. Let's do some phone action. Let's do some Cubes on Hannity. Cuban was on Hannity talking about a wide variety of things. Obviously, coverage of the continuing rioting and the coddling. How's this weekend going to go? How in the world? And I'll tell you what, this better not be. This had better not be another evening of the police standing down and doing nothing, as and this is leftist government to the core. This is leftist government to the core, not empowering the police to stop rioting. Why? Because they feel bad about George Floyd's death. We all feel bad about George Floyd's death. We should feel bad about George Floyd's death. And it looks like the wheels of justice are turning. That doesn't matter, because rioters got to riot. You know, thievery is going to happen. And so that's why the best word to attach this to, if you see these folks destroying buildings, destroying property, attacking people, this is not a natural extension of their anger or their rage or their sadness. This is opportunism. Little bell goes off in their head. Ding! There's rioting down the street. Well, I can't miss out. And off they go. That's what this is about. Do not allow anyone to normalize or to make excuses for this kind of lawless behavior. And the truly sad thing, the pathetic, really heartbreaking thing, is that we are thus denied an opportunity to have a horribly tragic event, Mr. Floyd's death, and follow that up with an uplifting quest for justice, where people, black and white, left and right, agree that something's got to happen here. And there may be differences along the periphery of whether it needs to be a murder charge. I think most people think that Officer Chauvin needs to be charged with something. You know, and maybe when it's not a murder charge, which it may not be. In a minute, I'm going to play the district attorney in Hennepin County saying, well, there's some evidence. In fact, it's kind of funny. He doesn't say some evidence that it wasn't murder. He says some evidence that it wasn't a crime. Uh-oh. So we'll see how that all goes. But in the meantime, let's see how things are going on the phone. And I've got much more audio to play and things to share with you. 866-660-5759. We are in Denton. Patrick, hey, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
I'm fine, sir.
Hi.
Had a question about the burning down of the precinct.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering how much evidence was destroyed and if that's where those body cans for those police officers were kept.
Well, it's almost everything is in the cloud these days. The destruction of a given building is likely not going to destroy widely distributable body cam evidence.
Well, I would think that they would already have it uploaded on a central computer.
No, but here's the thing. I mean, why would rioters want to destroy evidence? I mean, what why would they want to destroy? I mean, let's just play the game here for a little bit. Why would they fear the body cams coming out?
Well, if it shows something different than what the one video that we do have.
I get you. So something, right. I mean, as we saw in Rodney King, which looked very much like a thoroughly compliant, you know, unfortunate skull getting clubbed like a seal on the streets of Los Angeles, when in fact Rodney King had been powerfully resisting arrest. That didn't necessarily justify the clubbing, but it added context. Is there some added context here? There's no evidence of it, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen. The one thing I look for, thanks, Patrick, is obviously all of the officers. It's not like they're holding press conferences. Usually in something like this, if Mr. Floyd had been violently resisting arrest, that would have come out. Absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. I don't know. But yeah, a lot of these guys apparently did have some body cam on them. Does that lend anything? Does that illuminate, give us any fresh wisdom on the circumstance that led to Officer Chauvin's knee being on George Floyd's neck for you know, 8 minutes or so? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what comes out. 866-660-5759. We're in Flower Mound. Robert, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Good morning, Mark.
Hey.
Hey, something on the good side made me think of on this discussion. My wife and I, we lived in the L.A. during the Rodney King deal, and it really wasn't rioters, really a bunch of drug addicts and thieves that you've seen.
Well, that's right. If you riot, you are a rioter. So, yeah, it was rioters.
Okay, so I agree on that point with you. But the good thing on our, the good on our side is we were pregnant with our second child, and we left town, went to Vegas, came back and packed up bags and left about 2 weeks later.
And thus, where was your child born?
In Grand Junction, Colorado.
Look at there. Well, there's the good news here, the silver lining here is we got the heck out of Southern California. The vistas are beautiful. The attractions are many. But, my goodness, it is California. Robert, thank you. Appreciate it very much. 866-660-5759. All right. Hang on a second. Let me go to the Hennepin County DA. Made an eyebrow or two go up. This is Mike Freeman, okay? And he is holding a news conference. And this is what due process looks like. You and I can sit around all day and talk about, oh, that video looks bad. You and I can sit around all day and say, wow, that looks like the stuff for which charges should be filed. Or maybe you don't think so. We can throw, you know, hot opinions around here in the court of public opinion all day long. The district attorney's job is to look at evidence and do what that evidence dictates. All right. So here he is doing that, but then he says something that made a lot of eyebrows go up, and let's see if you can find that moment.
It's a violation of my ethics to talk and evaluate evidence before we announce our charging decision, and I will not do that. I will say this, that video is graphic and horrific and terrible, and no person should do that. But my job in the end is to prove that he violated a criminal statute, and there is other evidence that does not support a criminal charge.
Whoa, what? There's other evidence that does not support a criminal charge. Now, as the mobs gather and the group think starts to coalesce, it's a real intellectual exercise, and it's one that I try to engage in at all times. When things just look terrible, when things look obvious to you, maybe sometimes they're not. And that's why, as I put this clip on Twitter last night, I said, listen, I can't imagine what the countervailing evidence is, but I am open to hearing it. We all should be. And our system of justice, our court system, by obligation, must be open to countervailing evidence. District Attorney Mr. Freeman continues.
We need to wade through all of that evidence and to come through with a meaningful determination, and we are doing that to the best of our ability.
A couple of questions then followed.
Okay. Just say...
Something about when it comes to the African-American community. He said, what message will you give us to bring peace and to ensure them that justice will be done?
I bring the same message that African-American Attorney General of the state of Minnesota, Keith Ellison, is bringing. I'm bringing the same message of the Reverend Jesse Jackson. We have to do this right. We have to prove it in a court of law. And I will just point to you the comparison to what happened in Billy in Baltimore in the Gray case.
Freddie
Gray. It was a rush to charge.
That's
it was
right.
A rush to justice.
Yep.
And all of those people were found not guilty.
Exactly. See, wow. And this is when you are a district attorney, this is your job. You cannot have mob rule. You cannot have street justice. That is exactly what happened in the case of Freddie Gray. That's why the people who sought those charges against those cops stand discredited today. And Mr. Freeman is trying not to do that. But my eyebrow goes up. I mean, and I don't pretend that I know everything by virtue of looking at video. But everybody in the country who's a cop has looked at the video. I ain't heard one cop, not one, say, you know, Mark, I'm an officer, and let me tell you what might have been going on there that would make this, a thoroughly by-the-book police procedure, or at the very least, not a crime. All right, 850-866-660-5759. Let's see. I want to get this in before the show's over. I know I've got another hour, but I've got a big stack of stuff. When I come back from this break, I'm going to share something that somebody tweeted about the, it's sort of about the Shelley Luther case, the rogue hairstylist who dared to open her salon in violation of the lockdown orders. Somebody had a mean, cruel social media post about that. I know. Where's the news in that? Well, the news in that is who posted it. You won't believe it. Or maybe you will. I'll tell you next. 851, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. Greatness is a mid-70s electric light orchestra. Waterfall. From Face the Music, Jeff Lynn and the Boys. All righty. Let's play a little game called "Hey, who posted this?" Back, let's see, when would this have been? Some weeks ago, there was a story in the news of a woman who organized a protest against the stay-at-home orders. Okay, obviously, Shelley Luther got the lion's share of attention for her personal method of protest, which was to open her salon. But a lot of people were protesting the lockdown, the shutdown, the authoritarianism. And there was a news article of a woman who organized a protest against the stay-at-home orders, and then that woman later tested positive for COVID-19. Yikes, right? Someone posted on his Facebook page, "I am so in love with that lady named Karma." What? "I am so in love with that lady named Karma." A snide reference that this woman got exactly what she deserved for daring to protest the lockdown. So what kind of low-life social media troll would put that on his Facebook page? You ready? Keep the car on the road. That would be Judge Eric Moyer of Dallas County's 14th District Court, the judge in the Shelley Luther case. That Facebook post is conveniently gone now, but it was offered up by Shelley Luther's attorneys as evidence that Judge Moyer has a pre-existing bias toward anybody that protested the stay-at-home orders. You think? And they have also requested that Judge Moyer recuse himself from this matter. He has refused. Surprise, surprise. This now goes into a regional presiding judge's court, a gentleman named Ray Wheelis, who can either handle the motion himself or appoint a judge to hear it. This virtually never happens. Have judges, have recusal motions been granted because of Facebook? First of all, do judges need Facebook posts? Is that a good idea? Have them posting like teenagers some snark of their choice on a given day. I am so in love with that lady named Karma. The words, the cruel wish of Judge Eric Moyer, who threw Shelley Luther in jail. So I'll tell you what, when we can get frustrated, we can get mad, we can get angry. Tell you what, let's not riot. Let's do that. You know what let's do? Let us take to the streets on Election Day. Jennifer Lewis is running against Eric Moyer. Let's vote for her. Anybody who cares about, listen, left, right, judicial, just basic decency. Let's return Eric Moyer to private life. Can we please do that? Long shot, I know. But hey, you ask. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 859.